there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross here at South Point Casino in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi back home in New Jersey. And Michael, there's always a lot of chatter this time of year around the National Football League. We'll get into some of those coaching carousel, potential new hires and new places. But let's talk about Tennessee with their upcoming game here against the Bengals. And they've had the week off. And we know that Derrick Henry had already been back to practice before week 18. Of course, he wasn't activated. He will be activated for this football game. They averaged 5.5 yards a play when he was an active participant here with this football team. How does he change the dynamic? I mean, we all get how great he is individually, but if you're the Bengals and you're trying to defend them now, not knowing really how effective and how much usage he'll get, how does this change the game plan for both teams?
Well, I think it doesn't change it at all for Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee has remained true to themselves. I mean, they have tried to throw the football, you know, regardless of who they've played, even when they didn't have them. I mean, it wasn't always successful, but they tried to. I mean, you know, look, the four of the last five games, they really ran the football effectively. They didn't run it very well against San Francisco, which is a hard team to run the ball on. But for the most part, they did. You know, even in the Pittsburgh loss, they ran for 201 yards. This will help their passing game more. I think the matchup here is if they line up Mike Hilton on A.J. Brown and try to play man, the question the Bengals coaches were going to ask themselves is he may have him covered, but is he going to be able to tackle him? Can we get him on the ground? And just watching Henry work out, going through the bags, I saw no favoritism towards lower body. To me, he should be as good to go as anybody. The concern you have would be what's he going to be like in pass protection, but he's never really that involved in the pass protection. They usually get him out of the game and they change backs and they go with another back to go in there and help in the protection. McNichols is the guy they typically use. So, you know, I don't think that's a problem, you know, and I don't think his stamina will be affected either. I mean, you know, for all the games he's missed, Dave, he still carried the ball 219 times this year. He still almost had 1,000 yards rushing. You know, and he left after the Colt game. And what was that, week 7? I mean, what was that? Like when was that? Was week...
Yeah, it was in Indianapolis.
Week 8?
Yeah,
week 8.
Indy.
He played half the season. He had 900. I mean, this might actually be the best thing that ever happened to the Titans because he's going into the playoffs fresh, alive, completely healthy, not a bump on his body.
I can't believe...
And still has 900 carries. I mean, think about that. He still has 900 carries. You know, and so he would have gone into this game with probably 1,500 carries. He's 700 fresh.
Well, I just look at it and I marvel. Derrick Henry with a significant, what was it, Liz Frank? And then you got Cam Akers back off an Achilles in the same season?
It's modern technology.
Michael, how is this possible?
I mean, I'm writing about it. I mean, like in the book that I'm writing about the Hall of Fame, I'm talking. I mean, we talk about this as the medical miracles. I mean, you know, when I first started in the National Football League, one of my jobs for Coach Walsh was any player who got taken to the hospital, I had to go over to the hospital with a VCR, a VHS tape of Requiem for the Heavyweights, a Walkman radio, and music. And I had to take it to the person in the hospital, and I had to put it on the table and let them watch the movie and do all that. And so, and one time I went in there, and the great Fred Dean, and I underscore the word great Fred Dean, the greatest pass rusher I ever witnessed in my life. I went in there. He just had ACL surgery. He had a cast all the way up to his knee, smoking a cigarette on the hospital bed. And he said, get that crap out of here. I don't need that. And so I retreated immediately like a good army. You know, I was out. So, but I mean, he had a cast up to his thing, you know? And so the technology is different. You know, it's like, why in the 2020 Olympics, you know, the guy runs 9.98, and the 1920 Olympics, he runs 10.8. Well, a lot of it has to do with the technologies, the shoes, and everything. And we're seeing it. And these players are conditioning year-round. I mean, Ray Nitschke was selling insurance in the offseason.
By the way, don't think that Fred Dean reference is lost on yours truly. That trade from San Diego to San Francisco and the way he got after the Cowboys in the NFC title game, he made a huge difference. Nobody ever talks about Fred Dean in that game. He was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, no, he was one of the greatest pass rushers I've ever seen. We actually stole Gary Hans, the second Super Bowl we won. We had that whole defensive front, almost the whole defensive front. We had Gary Hans Johnson, Fred Dean, and we had Louis Kelcher, the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life. We went to go get our Super Bowl rings at this, I forget the name of the place. It was in San Francisco. It was the Museum of San Francisco. It was a beautiful venue, you know. And I saw Louis Kelcher, and he had the biggest hands I've ever seen. He was drinking 12-ounce beers, and the hand looked like, you know, those little Rolling Rock ponies you used to get, you know? It looked like a Rolling Rock pony in his hand. Like, I mean, this is the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life.
That team just caused me so much pain, and we just relived it right there. I had a moment right here on live television, Michael. Let's talk about those Niners and some of those injuries, because, Michael, I said it is bizarre that the Niners are on a short week, and they're going to Lambeau Field, and they do have significant injuries here. We know that Kyle Shanahan said that Jimmy G is limited at best at practice, if he practices at all. We know Fred Warner, boy, he was limited with that ankle, which looked awful, but hopefully that's better news. Potentially he's going to go. Elijah Mitchell, of course, was limited at practice on Tuesday. And then Nick Bosa in concussion protocol. So, Michael, when you have to evaluate
Bosa's the big one.
Yeah.
Bosa's the big one. I mean, he's got to be able to get out of concussion protocol, right? And so, you know, I mean, he was now, you know, they said here on the injury report, you know, we don't have it yet. I haven't seen it yet. So I don't know where he moves along. That's key for them. And what they did in that playoff game, Dave, against your Cowboys was they rotated 9 defensive linemen, and they all created a problem for the Cowboys. I mean, that was probably the biggest mishandicap that I had of the weekend is believing the Cowboys offensive line could block this front. I really miscalculated that. And they're doing it with some guys they picked up off the wire. I mean, Jordan Willis from the Jets. Maurice Hurst gets cut from the Raiders. So does Arden Key. I mean, this isn't – and they made that trade for Omayu from the Texans this offseason. He's been a huge factor for them. So I think the two players – I think Alshier has to play. He's a really fast linebacker. And when they're a better zone team when he's on the field. And then Warner's got to be able to run – and plant, because this scheme is a zone scheme that relies on the underneath coverage and the quickness to be able to get into those areas to really create some problems for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, guilty as charged from yours truly as well, Michael. I was stunned the way Lael Collins and Tyron Smith and Connor Williams, that didn't surprise me that he didn't hold up. But some of the names that we expect the Cowboys O-linemen to hold up against some guys not named Nick Bosa, to your point, that rotation of the D-line was ingenious last week by the Niners, and they had their way with the Cowboys up front. Let's get to some head coaching conversation here. And Matt Eberflus is going to get a second interview with the Jaguars. Michael, when you have a second interview with a guy, what are you looking at in that second one that maybe you didn't glean from the first one?
Well, I think you probably want to go over staffing. You want to go over the vision. I think you've narrowed it down that you think he qualifies. And so now you want to take it to the next step. Okay, who's your offensive coordinator? Who can you get? You know, if you take this job, what will the offensive staff, defensive staff look like? What are you going to need in terms of from personnel? How can we rearrange this team? I think you're asking more specific questions about the team and his philosophy, you know, which, you know, is going to be, it would fit what they've done. It's, you know, they're right now they're operating under the Baltimore Ravens style of defense. defense. In the past, they have always operated under the same system that Eberflus comes from, which is the Rod Marinelli, play Tampa, play cover three, zone drop, read the quarterback. So I think that's what they would go to. To me, it's somewhat amazing that a team that moved the football up and down the field on the Colts defense would say, I think that guy's really going to be the next best head coach we can hire. I really like that guy.
Very interesting.
Al Davis would probably say, don't foul him out. Keep him in the game. You know, like, let's keep playing against him 2 years in a row.
It's that Jason Garrett philosophy in Dallas.
It just blows me away. It blows me away that, you know, you basically kicked him out of the playoffs, partly because we know Ricky Fowler-Wentz was bad, but we also know the defense was horrendous.
It totally was. And again, it's like, you know, Cowboy fans were sad to see Joe Judge go in New York, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. I understand that. Speaking of the Giants, what about Joe Schoen? I don't know a whole lot about him, and I'm sure you do. Of course, he's the Bills' assistant GM. The Giants conducting that second interview there. Do you feel like this is something, a marriage that might happen here in New York?
Well, I do. I think that, you know, maybe at all, I think a lot of it's going to depend on who they think is he going to bring Daboll with him? Or is he going to want to accept, you know, who's he going to hire as his head coach? I think that's going to be really important, too. Is it Brian Flores part of it? I think they do like, I think the one thing John Mara liked was what Joe Judge brought to the table in terms of structure, you know, trying to hold players accountable, trying to play, you know, handle game management. None of it worked well for Joe. They're not denying this at all. But I do think the reason Mara didn't want to change is because he liked it.
Right.
He liked that kind of patriot way, if you will. And if he hired Daboll and he hired Flores, he continues to get that. And Schoen would bring some different flair from Buffalo. I think it's a really hard job in New York, only because I think they're going to have to change dramatically. They're going to have to really judge the quarterback. I would think they would want Daboll to fix the quarterback if, in fact, he can.
Well, very quickly, we got about a minute to go here. What about Mike McDaniel here? He's the Niners OC, and the Dolphins requesting to interview him. So it looks like that's going to happen today. Does that feel like a marriage that might happen?
I don't think so. For me, I mean, look, the guy running the team in San Francisco is Kyle Shanahan. I mean, it's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's just a fact. I mean, he runs the offense. I mean, he designs it. It's his team. I'm sure Mike McDaniel learned at it, but for the practicalities of it all are coming from Kyle.
All right, let's see how those coaching carousels continue as they try to fill those seats here as we get closer and closer to the end of the postseason. All right, when we come back here, Michael, Harry Gagnon is going to join us here, a respected handicapper.
My man, Harry.
We're going to talk to Harry when we come back right here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
But I'm with the other three.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights of where the money and bets are moving for every game. You're going to be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. Data is available for money line, over-unders, and against the spread bets. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. A pleasure to have Harry Gagnon join us now, handicapper, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor, and Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal. Harry, great to have you on the program with Michael and myself. Let's get to some of your plays that you like in this divisional round of the playoffs. We've been talking a lot about the Bengals and the Titans. We know the King, Derrick Henry, is going to be back. Does that dissuade you maybe if you're a Bengals backer?
Hey, guys, no, you know what? I'm all over the Bengals here. I gave them out on Against All Odds before the playoffs started. I have them playing Green Bay in the Super Bowl. Look, I like the Bengals 3.5 here. Yeah. Listen, we're still unsure. Henry may be going, but we're not sure how much he's going to play in this game, how much he's going to factor in, how it's going to weigh in on this. Cincinnati won two games last year, guys. Two games last year with Joe Burrow at quarterback versus Jacksonville, and they beat the Titans by 11. He outplayed Tannehill in that game, and on Saturday I think he's going to again. I know the defensive line for Tennessee is fantastic. Harold Landry got 12 sacks. Defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons, 8.5. If the Cincinnati offensive line, which is a little banged up, can hold up, guys, I think this is a situation where it's going to be bombs away for Joe Burrow with Higgins, Boyd, and Chase against the 25th-ranked pass defense of the Titans. And also, don't forget, Mixon's a great receiver on the backfield, too. I think this is a situation where just Tennessee doesn't have enough. I don't know if Tannehill can get if Henry can't really get going, get a feel for it, and they will have to rely on Tannehill. I don't think he gets it done. I think just right now, the way the Bengals are, what they've done, I think they get it done here. But I will take the 3.5 just in case.
Hey, Harry, let me ask you, what are you worried at all about the up in class? I mean, look, the Raider game, they benefited. I mean, that game was for the Raiders to take. That really was. I mean, it came down to Carr's decision to spike it and Carr's decision to throw short of the end zone. But the health of the Bengals, and I worry about the next stage. It's the next round. Do they have enough? Are they savvy enough? Are they experienced enough? That's what I would be concerned. You're not?
A little bit. You're right, Mike. Absolutely. Definitely a little bit here. But just, boy, he really is Joe Cool, Joe Burrow, isn't he? Just what he did at LSU, how he won the national championship, and then moved on here to Cincinnati, got the injury in the second half of the season last year. But he's matured. And before the end, the last two games before they played the game against Cleveland in the regular season where he didn't play much, and didn't matter for them because they were already locked into winning the AFC North. His two games before that, he had almost 1,000 yards, almost 10 touchdowns in those two games. He's just rolling. I just think that the chemistry he had with Chase at LSU and that he has right now with him at Cincinnati. And listen, Higgins and Boyd, like I mentioned, fantastic wide receivers too. I think as long as the key is the Cincinnati offensive line. If they can give him enough time, he's going to find these guys, and I think they can win this game.
Talking with handicapper Harry Gagnon. Follow him on Twitter at AAOHarry. Let's talk about the NFC here with the Packers against the Niners here. And the number now has gone up to 6. We know that Niners do have some injury concerns here, Harry, as well. And it feels like the Packers are getting healthy. It's 6 now at BetMGM. What do you make of this number? And do you think the home team might get some traction at Lambeau Field?
I like Green Bay here. I mean, San Francisco played a great game last week, especially defensively. Emmanuel Mosley played a great game. I think he had 12 tackles for San Francisco, but they're banged up all over the place. Jimmy G's got the shoulder. He's got the finger at you. Elijah Mitchell had a nice game, too, last week, but he's banged up as well. I think it's just Green Bay had nothing to do last week except get healthy. Jahari Alexander, Za'Darius Smith are going to be back. With Green Bay at home, guys, you just know this is the way it goes. They're 8-0 this season. 7 of those games were by 8 points or more. And again, you've got the 1-2 combo running back with Dylan and Jones. They had like 1,600 yards combined this season. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers with Adams as well. I just think this is a situation where it's going to be too much for San Francisco. The Niners may hang in there because they're balanced. They're balanced on offense, they're balanced on defense. They're in the top 10 in all statistical categories on offense and defense, but still overall, I think Green Bay wins this game going away. Maybe goes under. I kind of lean towards the under here with the weather supposed to be really cold in Green Bay on Saturday night, but I'm going to lean towards Green Bay to cover and a little bit towards the under.
You know, when you watch the first game, I mean, San Francisco played horrendous in the first half. I mean, they scored a touchdown right at the end of the half to make it 17-7. But they really put themselves, you know, at such a disadvantage. And, you know, Crosby's 51-yard field goal right as the clock expires, you know, wins the game. I worry about Crosby in this game. I really worry about Crosby. I mean, I worry that they're not going to be able to make that critical kick, especially. I don't think he's going to make a 51-yarder, as you mentioned, Harry, in the cold. I'm worried about San Francisco's injury. There's no doubt. I think, for me, this line moving seems to make me believe Bosa's not going to play. Oof. And I think that would be a real critical factor.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If Bosa not playing, it would be huge. And, yeah, Crosby hasn't had that good of a season. He missed a lot of critical kicks. I would worry about that a little bit on the Green Bay side. And overall, the past couple of years, San Fran has kind of had Green Bay's number. I know, like you mentioned earlier this season, Mike, that Green Bay did pull out the game against San Fran, but it was close. It was only a two-point game. But in this spot here, Green Bay at home, you know, looking towards the Rams and the Buccaneers next week, Green Bay just doesn't go one and out. They've just been dominating all year. And like I said, 7 of their 8 wins at home by 8 points or more. That one 8-point game was against the Rams, but beating everybody else by double digits at home. And I guess, and San Fran's had a nice season. You have to definitely, if you're Green Bay, you have to definitely worry about Deebo Samuel running the ball, receiving the ball. He's been fantastic. He's probably the most dynamic player in the NFL right now when it comes to doing both. But overall, and they had a nice game against Dallas last week and got in the end zone. But I still think it's Green Bay's time here in the NFC, and I think Aaron Rodgers and the Packers move on.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk about what feels like the feature bout of the weekend, if you will, and that's the heavyweight bout between the Bills and the Chiefs in Kansas City. Feels like the AFC title is on the line here in this one, Harry. I know that you have the Bengals going to the Super Bowl, though. What do you make of the Bills getting two? Are they going to need the two, or can they win this thing outright?
Guys, I think they win this game outright. Just alone, with the odds makers setting the game at 2, making the Bills a 2-point dog, they're not even giving Kansas City and Andy Reid the credit they probably deserve of being at least a 3-point. You get 3 points from being home in the first place. But maybe this is the line is set this way because the Bills did take care of Kansas City earlier this season by 18 points in Arrowhead. Josh Allen looked great in that game. He looked fantastic last week in the cold with a 5-touchdown performance. But overall, I think, you know, and he's outshined Mahomes this year. He definitely had a better season than Mahomes. I'm worried about the Kansas City running game. McKinnon did a nice job last week, but I don't know if they're going to be able to run the ball. They have to just straight up pass against this Bills defense, which is first in passing yards against, points against, and like I said, they're first in yards against in the NFL. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are probably the best 1-2 safeties in the league. Hyde had a pick last week in their win. I think the situation where maybe this gets a little – if Bills do the same thing they did in the first time when they played against Kansas City this year and get out to a lead and have to have Kansas City and Mahomes pass the ball. Mahomes had plenty of interceptions this year. He had some games where he – in red zone picks, and he had a couple against the Bills earlier this season too. I just think overall here right now, the way the Bills are playing, what they've shown, and what they did against Belichick and the Patriots last week, I think it's too much here, and I think the Bills get it done.
Yeah, I mean, last time they played, Mahomes had to throw it 54 times. And, you know, he threw two picks in the game. He got constant pressure. You know, they did a great job. I mean, in the last time they played, I mean, Josh Allen only threw it 26 times. Now, Josh Allen was the leading rusher. He had 11 carries for 59 yards. I mean, that's going to be the game, right? I mean, they're going to run him, and I think that really hurts them. I'm with you. I think Buffalo's going to be hard to beat.
Harry, very quickly, about 30 seconds to go. I want to get your thoughts on the other game here. Rams against the Bucks. You got to lean in this one. Which way are you leaning?
you know what, guys? I'm leaning towards the Rams. Tampa Bay still with injuries. Fournette was supposed to go last week. Didn't make it into the starting lineup. I know McVay lost to Brady in the Super Bowl as Brady was a Patriot, but with Brady in a Bucs uniform, he is 0-2 against Sean McVay. Got steamrolled both times. Lost both prime time games. Lost both of them against McVay. I think there's a situation where now you have Von Miller and Beckham on this team, and the way the Rams dominated Arizona, they got the confidence going. I like and Stafford 340 yards and 4 touchdowns this year against the Bucs. I'm leaning towards the Rams over Brady.
All right. Harry, always appreciate the time and the information. Again,
thanks, Harry.
Against All Odds podcast with Cousin Sal. Appreciate that as well. Coming back with Lou Finicaro right here on the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want to make sure VSiN is a part of your plans. We're going to be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, we've got 56 hours of free video coverage on VSiN.com leading up to the 6th annual live big game betcast. It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans now to join VSiN, the betting experts before, during, and after all the action on VSiN.com. Dave Ross back alongside Michael Lombardi here on the Lombardi Line. And Michael, you know I love having our guy Gamblu, Lou Finicaro, joining us here each and every Wednesday. Follow him on Twitter as I do, at Gamblu. Does a great job here at the VSiN Point Spread Weekly contributor. Lou, let's get right to it in the NFL. And it was great having Harry on in the last segment, getting his thoughts. Let's get to yours. And I know you've been on a lot of totals this year, and you've been very profitable in that exercise. What about the Bengals and the Titans here? You've been playing a lot of unders, but Lou, I think you might flip the script on this one.
I might flip the script because normally Dave and Michael and Dave, thanks so much for having me on every week all year. It's great learning from you both. As far as this game's concerned, I do go into these looking for dogs and looking for unders. But when the handicap tells me otherwise, I think I have to take it the other way. With Tennessee, I think there's some great advantages that I have to recognize. Rest, home team. They've got the experienced coach and the experienced quarterback from 2 years ago, and I put a lot of merit on hunger and teams that got close, that got their nose rubbed in it and want to kick the door in and finally get there. I really think Tennessee has a lot of those intangibles. Donta Foreman, I'm not afraid of him at all. He could not run behind the San Francisco offense or maybe behind the Dallas offense, but he's perfect for Tennessee. And if I can get a few carries out of
Derrick Henry.
Thank you so much, Derrick Henry. That's going to be gravy. But in the game, I think Tennessee is going to attack Cincinnati right down the throat. I think it's possible they score some form of points on every drive. And I think the game with Burrow, a quarterback I respect and an offense that can put points up, I think that we're going to see points in the game. And I think it's a Tennessee performance that will really set them up to be a solid home team facing whichever other team they face out of Buffalo and Kansas City.
You know, my concern is on the over is I think if you really, you know, now look, the Houston game was 28-25, and Houston in the second half moved the football effectively on them. So, you know, and that was an important game. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, when Miami came in there, Miami couldn't do anything. Once it started raining, Tua, it was over with for Tua. That was the end of that. And the San Francisco game, two really good offenses. We know Garoppolo was hurt. He turned the ball over in the red zone. That's a 20-17. I think the pace of the game for Tennessee is limit possessions 8-9 and try to limit the big play ability and make Cincinnati eat as much clock up as they eat up to kind of keep this game down. So I think of a correlation play here in terms of taking the Titans and taking the under. But, you know, sometimes this Titans defense, as you indicated, Lou, they just kind of leak a little bit too much, especially in the second half, and I think it could be a problem.
Yeah, absolutely, gentlemen. Let's talk about another one. And this one made my eyes light up here, Lou, because I see this handicap the same way you do. You look at the Rams in their front, and you look at the Bucs in their front, and you go, oh, my goodness, how are you going to score points? Well, you're not going to run the ball, so it might be Brady and Stafford through the air. You like the over in this one right now, 48.5 here at BetMGM. Is that the rationale behind it?
Yes, the rationale is quarterbacks. The rationale is defenses that have been porous, although we didn't really get to see much test of the Rams defense last week. I also really like the fact that earlier in the season it was Tampa high flying, went into LA and got beat. I believe there's a chip there. We may not call it as far as revenge, but Tampa's got their ears back here, and I think they're going to put the ball up against the Rams, and I especially believe that Gronkowski could have a really big game in this one, attacking the middle of that L.A. Ram defense.
Well, I don't think Weddle's going to cover him, that's for sure. And I think for, the other thing is, you know, they lost Gronk in that, and I think they lost Gronk in the second quarter with his ribs in the last game. They lost Fournette in the first quarter of the last game. So they lost two of their key players, and I think that's not going to be the case. What worries me is DeSean Jackson, you know, got behind the Bucs defense three times, and, you know, Stafford struggled to get to the ball to him, but that won't happen again because Deshaun's not there, Beckham's there. And I think Todd Bowles, I agree with you, Lou, I think Todd Bowles will make really good adjustments in this game to try to help himself. They've got to play better up front. I mean, the most disappointing thing watching that tape yesterday was how the Rams' offensive line blocked the Bucs' front.
Yeah, no question about it, gentlemen. I do think you'll see a different game script. But, Lou, you're right. There is going to be a chip on the shoulder for the Buccaneers, and I'm with you there. I do expect points in this one. Bills and the Chiefs, it's got a feel of an AFC title game here, Lou, in Kansas City. We saw what Buffalo did the first time they went there in the regular season. Will be different in the postseason?
Boy, I think this is going to be a really excellent game. And again, I do believe Kansas City's been there. They're on top and protecting, and Buffalo has gotten close and gotten their nose rubbed in it. I think this is a compelling game. And just let's say it like this, team with the ball last wins.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. And both field goal kickers are good in this game, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I know it's going to be cold and both teams are used to playing. I think you're right. I think this is one of those. And the way the line is, Lou, it just seems so, you know, you're not getting any advantage. This is, why wouldn't you just play the money line on either team?
I totally agree. Pick the winner in the playoffs. Find the team that's going to win. Don't worry about the point spread. You'll be just fine.
Yeah, and Steve Mackinnon had great numbers to that point there, gentlemen, that we had in the first hour. The winners have been covering as well. So I think that's very prudent information to give out. Lou, I know that when the games are over on Saturday, Michael's going to flip over to the UFC 270 like I know we are, and we're going to watch the two baddest men on the planet right now, Francis Ngannou against Cyril Gane. You and I are going to talk about this much more on Friday on First Strike. Shameless plug here on VSiN. But boy, oh boy, oh boy. You look at the Predator now as a solid underdog. I'm seeing somewhere up to plus 140, Lou. What do you make of this? And I know we liked Cyril Gane when he was either plus money or minus 110. Is there still value in the Frenchman?
Well, the time to take Gane was a week ago when we took him. And the line bounced up. It's settled down. There's been some Ngannou buyback. This is going to be an excellent fight, stylistic fight. Ngannou, explosive but profusely powerful. However, he is a fighter learning how to be a mixed martial artist, an athlete learning how to be a mixed martial artist. Gane is a polished mixed martial artist, and he has legs, feet, athleticism, and I do believe that he is a rightful minus 140 favorite in this fight. That's how I handicap it, and that's how I would recommend people play it. Gane up to 140. Anything past that, maybe 150, but that's the limit.
Okay, but very quickly, we know the over-under is set at 2.5. Do you think that Gane tries to take the Predator into deep waters to tire out and exhaust some of that gas tank from the Predator, or do you think somehow this gets stopped either way inside that 2.5-round limit?
Yeah, Gane's plan must be to take this fight into the fourth or fifth round. That's when he can get rid of Ngannou. No sooner. Ngannou isn't going to fall easy. No. This is an over fight and a gone fight.
All right. That's the way Lou Finocchiaro handicaps that one. The co-main event, my goodness. Viva la Mexico. We know that the first Mexican born champion in the UFC, of course, Brandon Moreno, is going to defend that strap for the first time against his nemesis now in Davison Figueiredo here in the trilogy matchup this time around. Figueiredo is going to be looking at it like, hey, I thought I won the first fight, but it was a draw. Then he gets stopped in the second. Is it going to be different? Is it Ann Still, or will it be Ann New?
It's going to be completely dependent on the weigh-ins Friday morning. Figueiredo has struggled with 125 in both of his last two fights against Moreno. If he struggles with his weight, it's Ann Still. And if he's the first one to step on the scale and he weighs in perfect, I'll have a lot of other thoughts.
Okay, cannot wait to see that, because you do dive into those stare downs and certainly what you see for the weight cuts. Very quickly, we know we got a Nurmagomedov on the card. No, not that one. We got Saeed Nurmagomedov against Cody Stamann right here. Saeed is a big favorite here, minus 200. Any danger for Saeed against the puncher and Cody in this one, or is this going to be what we expect?
And Cody's more than a puncher. He's got a solid wrestling base. He's a good, solid fighter, and he fights a little bit with a chip. I expect him to have a chip in this fight, and I regard him as live.
Okay, plus 165 right now on Cody on the comeback. Hey, Lou, always appreciate it. Can't wait again to talk to you more. First Strike on Friday. We'll dive deeper into these bouts. But again, great handicapping on the football. And, of course, I always have to ask about UFC with you, my friend. So there he is. Check him out, Gamblou. Follow him on Twitter and also the Bout Business Podcast. It's short. It's sweet. It's to the point. It's Lou Finocchiaro. Appreciate you, Lou.
Thanks so much, Michael, Dave. Good luck to everyone.
Thank you, Lou. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye. When we come back, Michael, we're going to talk more about what we got coming up in the divisional round of the playoffs. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer in the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VSiN200 when you make your very first wager. Plus, you're going to earn M Life rewards that can be redeemed for rooms and dining at any MGM resort. BetMGM is proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion
promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi as we wrap up what I always find to be a very riveting conversation on a Wednesday as we go through the National Football League, Michael. And what I love about today's show is we get Harry Gagnon on, we get Lou Finocchiaro on, we get Steve Mackinnon on. So I think we give the people, and of course your insights and your numbers, we give the people out there the best tools to access which way they think these games are going to go from a monetary standpoint when we get to the weekend. The lines are so tight these days when you only have four games. They're all under the microscope, Michael. How do you separate? And really, I don't recall with the biggest spread being six in Green Bay, where you get this tight, just basically, you know, 2, 1.5 in Buffalo, looking at 3, 2.5 in Tampa Bay, you know, 3.5 in Tennessee. I mean, these games are razor thin. How do you separate them when you try to really put it in context to make a profit?
Yeah, you know, I think you really have to do a good job of breaking down how these teams handle situational football, right? And so, you know, the 49ers, the last time they played in Candlestick, in Santa Clara, they were -3. The Vegas line was -3 San Francisco. Now it's, you know, they're -6. I mean, they're +6. They're getting 6 points. I mean, that's a 9-point swing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 9-point swing based on, and the Niners are playing way better football right now than they were back then.
Yeah, they've changed their identity too, right?
It's a huge, huge, you know, number. You know, all these teams in rematch weekend are different. All these teams are different. Kansas City's playing in a much different style of defense in terms of their execution. Buffalo's offense is running the ball more with Allen at quarterback. Their offense is slightly different. You know, the Tampa Bay team is different because of injuries, concerns with their offensive line. The Rams are different, really trying to rely more on the run game, although I think the Rams know they'll have a hard time running against Tampa in Tampa. And I think San Francisco, of all these rematches, they're playing at a higher level now than they did in Week 3. And Green Bay, defensively, is not playing at that same level, nor is their special teams anywhere near. Their level's always bad. So I think it's fascinating how these lines are so tight. And the one game that everybody's running into bed is Green Bay, because everybody trusts in Rodgers, we trust. And I think it's kind of interesting. You know, that line is, on our numbers that we look at on a daily basis, is, you know, it's the ticket count's pretty even and the money is really even. Mm. Like, no one is betting the Bengals, and yet that line is staying pretty much status quo. No one is betting Tampa Bay, and yet that line is staying pretty much there. No one is betting Kansas City, and that line is moving. So it's fascinating how this all works.
Well, getting back to the Green Bay side very quickly here, Michael, and it looks like they're going to get Jaire Alexander back for this one, and maybe Za'Darius Smith here, and get the Smith brothers that pass rush with Preston back as well. How much can you trust guys that haven't played a large part of the season? We'll get back to Derrick Henry here in a second, but for Green Bay side defensively, can you plug and play those guys and say, all right, I expect them to be? Is it?
It's hard. You know, and I mean, look, the one thing about the last game is the 49ers couldn't run the ball. They had 21 carries for 67 yards. I mean, the first touchdown, Trey Lance scored it on. They put him in to run the short yardage play. You know, and so they really struggled to run the football. Mitchell wasn't running in this game. You know, this was a Trey Sherman game. You know, and he was the main back. You know, he had 10 carries, just 31 yards. You know, so they're a different team. And even though the Packers are going to get, maybe they get Bakari back, but if he's going against Nick Bosa, that's a welcome back to the NFL. You know, the NFL, especially offensive linemen, it takes reps, and, you know, it's hard just to go out there and play great. And so I think it's going to be a challenge. And with weather coming in and all that, that lends itself to making it harder to get loose, to feel comfortable. I think it's a challenge. I mean, as of right now, you know, on my board here, I have, you know, the weather, you know, going to be somewhere around the low teens, which is kind of balmy for Green Bay.
It is. I don't think we have weather concerns in Tampa Bay. And speaking of new guys and how much you can really expect out of them, I didn't really see if Eric Weddle, how many snaps he got in the game Monday night against Arizona. But I have to think that if Tom Brady sees Weddle out there, he's going to try to manipulate that
potential mismatch on X receiver, isn't he?
Yeah, you would think so. And then I think the other thing, if you're Tom Brady, you got Sean Hockley doing the game. You got to say, look, now it's not Hockley's crew, right? But Hockley was there, and I know I hate to bring up a bad memory for you, but Hockley was the official on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, boy.
And that was his crew that called a bunch of pass interference calls. You know, if I'm the Bucs or the Rams, I'm going to see what this crew's going to call. Hockley loves to call. Now, you know, he's not good to the home team. He's a 41% home referee. Ron Tolbert. Now, Ron Tolbert has the Green Bay game. And Ron Tolbert, this is just a little FYI, his career home record is 44-62. He lends himself to the visiting team.
Wow.
Now, that's not his crew. So these numbers, be careful when I say these numbers, because this number is associated to his crew. These are the all-star crews, right?
Right.
And typically, I believe this is the round that the Super Bowl gets the referee from.
Right, because we know Jerome Boger's crew, that they will not be working this weekend.
He's out. And usually it's not the wild card round, you know. And we haven't seen my man Scott Novak. I mean, don't tell me he's going to do a divisional game. That'll be brutal. But anyway, so if I'm the 49ers, if I'm the Bucks and I know I got Hockley, the deep ball could be in play here. You got to take a little bit of a chance.
I know that there's going to be a prop out there, because there's a prop on everything these days, on carries for, say, a guy like the King, Derrick Henry, when he comes back. Michael, if you had to set that number of what you expect in a game right now, they're favored by 3.5 over Cincinnati. What do you think? What do you think realistically he gets in that playoff game?
I think he's going to. I don't think he's not going to be on pitch count. I mean, once he's cleared, he's cleared. You know, do I think they'll rotate Foreman in? Sure, but I think, you know. Look, there's no turning home. I mean, you can't check the bags. You got to go all the way through here now. This is winner go home. What are we saving them for? If we're dressing them, we're playing them, right? Like, what are we saving them for? Like, I watched him work out. He looked good to me in that workout going through the bags. You know, that bag drill we saw on Twitter that you see, that's a classic New England drill. They do that every day. And he went through those bags effortlessly. So I'm sure they're going to want to make sure his stamina is good. They're going to want to make sure that, you know, he gets some rest. But no, there's what are we saving him for?
There is,
I mean, look,
no tomorrow.
He already had 900 carries, you know.
Yeah, right. This is Apollo telling Rocky there is no tomorrow. Like we got to go win this thing today, because
we got to go. Yeah, we got to go. I mean, you know, this is it. What are we hoping for?
Yeah, what about playoff Lenny? Now, he tweeted out, Michael, that he's going to be back. I'll see you on Sundays, what he tweeted, right? So you know Bruce Arians.
Who said that?
Leonard Fournette, right? He said, and you know Bruce Arians.
Oh, yeah, he's going to play.
Right. Like, that's why Antonio Brown's no longer there, because he wouldn't play.
He's going to play. I mean, look, he just couldn't go last week. You know, but their injury list is huge. I mean, their injury list is you know, Worth is questionable. Ronald Jones, can he go? You know, we know Devin White, and we know Carlton Davis. He hurt an abdomen, and they listed him as questionable. They got to get Pierre Paul back in there. That helps them. That really helps them. And so, you know, I think they've got to become healthy. Bernard played in the last game when they played in Los Angeles, and he was effective in that game. But I do think this is a game that they must be able to. Now, you know, Von Miller's on the injury report for the Rams. I mean, he's listed as questionable going into this game as well. So we'll see.
But about a minute to go, very quickly, if Tristan Wirfs can't go, we know he was just a stud for Tom Brady
That's
the last
problem.
2 years, right? How does Brady manipulate that so it somehow doesn't rear its ugly head in the game, Michael? How do the great ones do that?
They shift the motion, they change the protection, they slide the protection, and Brady will tell this kid, you set inside out. Don't, you know, I'll step up in the pocket, just run him by the passer. I'll step up. Don't let him beat you inside. That's the most critical thing.
I need about 2 more hours to discuss that with you, Michael, because that stuff fascinates me from somebody who never understood line play at all. Michael, always appreciate the conversation as always. Steve Mackinnon, Harry Gagnon, and of course Lou Finocchiaro for joining us here today on the Lombardi Line. Patrick Maher will be back in the chair tomorrow, Michael. Enjoy the football, my friend, this weekend. I'll catch up with you again next week.
Thank you, David.
All right, there he is, Michael Lombardi, everybody. Don't go anywhere. We got you covered all afternoon long right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. All that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.